Well, let's get into tonight's session. It's session 15. It's the very last session. It's on page 80. What about the church? Now, you know, for 8 weeks, we've been breaking stereotypes. We've been breaking stereotypes. And what does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Can I know I'm going to heaven? Can I know Christ it will be with me even on this planet and I can experience his life now? Can I trust the Bible? We looked again, just doing an introduction as to the evidence that supports the validity of the scriptures. And then we also talked about evil. We talked about the fact that the Bible talks about demons and that there is evil in the world and its intention is to destroy us. And so tonight, what about the church? I mean, this is a big one. Because most of us have had an experience with church. Maybe you're a church attender or not, but I can't imagine anyone that's never been into a church, a denominational church in their lives. If it's just for a wedding or a funeral, or maybe you got baptized as an infant in a high liturgical church. Everybody knows something about church. But I assure you tonight, the Bible is going to mess with our stereotypical understanding of how the Bible defines the church. And again, as I've said most every week, don't believe me. I've asked you not to believe anything I've said over these weeks, but to look into what the Bible says itself. So we're going to break, as I said, some stereotypes. So the church, what do you think about the church? So there are some popular misconceptions of the church, like the church equals services. Like, when do you have church? When are your meetings? Or the church equals clergy, like a small group of religious leaders that kind of direct and make the decisions for the church. Or the church is a particular denomination. What kind of church do you go to? Or we'll think the church is a building. Where's your church? But the Bible says that the church isn't a service, though it has services. The Bible that says that the church isn't necessarily a bunch of leaders, but the church has leaders. The church isn't denominations, though there are different denominations. And the church isn't a location, but the church has a location where it has its meetings. And so the church is, if you look at the word church in the original language of the New Testament, the Greek language, it's broken up as a compound word, which is ekklesia. The word ek means out of. The word klesia means called. And so it is called out of. So the church, when you talk about the church in the New Testament, it's talking about those who are called out. And what we know by now is what called out of what? Called out of death, called out of Adam, and called into life. And the Bible's really clear about that. So let's just go back to this diagram here where the Bible talks about that in Christ there's a change of address and there's an exchange of lives. That there's a dominion of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. So people can go to church their whole lives, but not be in Christ. You can go to a place where people gather, but the church is the people. Those who are called out. Actually, the word ecclesia is a feminine noun word. It talks about real people. So we don't sit here and slap people when they say, "Oh, where do you go to church?" We're not saying that, but the Bible is clear that the church is living people. We go to a building. The church is in the building, but the church is not the building. And so what we see here is those who are in Christ are not in the church. Those who are in Christ are the church. Those who are not in Christ are apart from the church, though they may go into a building that is called Saint This Church or Cornerstone That Church. And so the Bible is really clear when it talks about that. And so God had given the church for those who are in Christ to be fed, to be led, to be protected, and to be connected. All right? To be fed the truth, to be led into the truth, to be protected from evil and error, and to be connected now and forever together in a spiritual family. So the church, the Bible says, is not a building. It is not a building. The church is not brick and mortars. It is not wood and nails. Okay? The church is God's body. It's God's home. It's God's people. And it's God's family. As we've talked about over the weeks, that if there's one thing you can talk that we can say, if we could take the Bible and we boil it all down, the one word we could turn the Bible into is the word relationships. Everything about the God of the Bible is relational. Everything about the God of the Bible is personal. Everything about God says God wants your life to be interacting with his infinite life. And as the church, he has called us into himself to experience that relationship, not just individually, but corporately as well. Not a place, but it functions as a place. So, for example, this is a greenhouse. You wouldn't say, look at the plants. The greenhouse is a place where the plants grow. The church building is a place where those who are the church grow. A hospital, you wouldn't say, look at the doctors. Look at the patients. No, you'd say, that's the hospital. And inside the hospital are doctors and nurses and patients. It's a place of healing. It's a place of restoration. The church people are a gathering for healing and restoration. You don't say, oh, look at the saints. No, but that's where the saints sometimes show up and play, right? Sometimes. All right? And so that basically, it's a place of, let's just say, generally speaking, enjoyment, right? You go there to enjoy. You know, some people go and enjoy too much. The church is a place of growth, spiritual growth. The church is a place of healing and restoration. The church is a place of enjoyment and fellowship. It's those three things. Let's just talk about the first one, the body of Christ. Okay, the body of Christ is a living organism. The church is the body of Christ. In Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 12, he says, for as in one body, we. Now, when he talks about we here, the we are the church, the people in Christ. We have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So Paul has given us the picture of the anatomical body has many different members with many different functions. And in the same way, the church, the people in Christ, have many different functions and many different gifts. And we talked about that a whole lot Saturday, that God gifts everyone in different ways, in a multiplicity of ways, but he gifts so that we can function together as your body functions together. He says the church is the body of Christ with Christ as the head, and we function together. And so membership into Christ's church or body is a result of being in Christ's body. I mean, there are many body parts, but they only function properly together. The body is beautiful, but if you just cut off a finger and just threw it on the ground, that would be pretty gross, wouldn't it? You know, but the body functions when it's together. If I wanted to just take my hand, let's just say, and now I'm just going to do this for demonstration purposes, right? But if But I mean, the hand is it's beautiful. I mean, you actually have hand models. There are people make tons of, they could be ugly as sin, but they've got gorgeous hands, and they just are just. But if you take that hand and you just and you just cut the hand off, I mean, I've already lost all the blood in it. Can you see that? But if you did that, you'd be stupid. But how gross and how horrible is that? The body is meant to function. Let me just put this back on here. Okay. All right. So the body is meant to function together. God calls us as a body, people called to be connected to one another's life meaningfully. I think about that. Think about your experience with church. Has your experience with church been where you are meaningfully connected? Not just showing up in a building and doing what you're doing, and a bunch of people are there, but you don't have any real sense of connection. You know, you may go and you may be the pastor, the priest may offer you an opportunity to go and say hi to somebody or offer them a sign of peace or whatever, but that's about it. And the connection is not much there. That's not what God calls church. It's meaningfully connected, where you're walking, talking, living out life together. And so you and I are called out ones to be meaningfully connected into one another's lives. I'm just going to do this anyway because I want us to get this understanding that as we have been here, as you guys have been taking this in, one of the things that is I think paramount and most important for growth that we talked about the growth of one another's lives, the healing and the restoration, and the fellowship is that we live life together. Now, you don't live life together all the time. You go to work, you're in your neighborhood, you go to different places, different things, but growth takes place together. And Jesus tells a parable in the 4th chapter of Mark, and it's a parable of the sower, and he talks about 4 seeds. He talks about seed that fell by the roadside, that fell into shallow soil, that grew up among the weeds, and seed that grows in fertile soil. So as this has anything to do with the body, I want you to understand so when Jesus talks about a sower that goes and he sows seeds into a field, and the seed represents the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ came and gave his life for us, lived the life we could not live for ourselves. He died for all of our rebellion against God. And that is the seed of the gospel. And the sower sows the seed. Now, some of that seed in Jesus' parable falls by the roadside. And he says immediately it's taken up. He talks about the birds of the air taking it up, and he associates that also with Satan stealing the word. He talks about seed that fell into shallow soil, and that seed, it fell into soil that comes up immediately, but there's no sense, it's totally shallow. And though it goes up, the minute the sun comes out, it's burned and goes away. It's hardly there at all. He's saying there's some people that hear the word and they're excited about it. But when the worries and the cares of the world come, it's quickly burned out. Can I tell you, we've done 47 alphas. And we'll do alphas as long as we can do alphas. And we've seen lots of folks come, and we've seen lots of folks go. We've seen lots of shallow soil. This has been great for 8 weeks. Or you wouldn't still be here. I mean, I know it's the ice cream, but just, you know. But I think this has meant more to you than the pounds that you have gained during Alpha. I think we're going to start putting a scale that people just weigh in the first week and then weigh out week 8. It's probably not a good idea. Okay. But I trust that you're coming here because you're not because of me or anything else. I mean, again, we have loving on you and caring for you. But I'm trusting that that is God's Spirit that is working in a mysterious way, whether you feel like that's God or not. I'm telling you, I would argue that that is God. But the important thing we would ask of you, not for us. I'll be happy to show you someplace else to go where you can continue to receive the truths of God's word and continue to grow. That you're not, this wasn't just some, oh yeah, remember that thing I went to a while back, like years ago? Yeah, that was kind of cool, and I don't know anything about it anymore. This is what, to continue growing, to continue healing and being restored and experience this kind of fellowship gathering together, you have to continue. That there's seed that grows up among weeds. That's good soil, but there's lots of weeds in it, like most of our gardens right now, right? And so the seed goes into good soil and it comes up, but the weeds steal the nutrition from it. And Jesus says that the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the care for other things choke out the seed, and it's unfruitful. I mean, that is a challenge to me all the time, that there's life in me, but I'm not experiencing the fullness of the growth and the healing and the restoration and the fellowship because so many things, the worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, care for other things. And then there's a seed that grows up in the fertile soil. That's a seed that grows up healthy and gives fruit. It touches other people's lives and experiences the life of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so if we're to continue to grow and to experience the life that God has for us, the infinite, glorious life that God has for us, it's important that we continue. And that's why we do essentials. That's why we continue this, so that you can continue. And we'll talk more about that as well. So the church is also home. The church is a home. The Bible says here, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? A temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. So if you're in Christ, the Bible tells us that God has come in to our lives and made us his home. See, in the Old Testament, they built a temple. They built a tabernacle. Not that God fit in there or he needed to be in there, but it was for them a presence, a physical presence of God in their midst to the Jewish people when they're in the wilderness and then eventually established in Jerusalem. So in the Old Testament, God dwelled in a building that was made by hands. In the New Testament, when God sends the Holy Spirit, he dwells in a building that has hands. He makes his home in us. Whether you or I feel that or not, if Christ is raised from the dead, if he's ascended into heaven, if he sent the Holy Spirit, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, if you've sensed God coming, taking over your life, the Spirit of God lives in you. He has made you his home. Peter writes this. He says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, not a physical house, a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. The Bible calls everyone who is in Christ a priest. Let me just give you the definition of the priest, because most of us have a traditional high liturgical definition of priest. A priest in the Old Testament was one who had direct communication, direct contact with God himself. He didn't go to anybody else. He went directly to God. And the Bible tells us that as a son or a daughter of God's, where he wants you and me to go is directly to him. He wants us to experience relationship with him as a holy priest of God, so that we can offer ourselves. A spiritual sacrifice is just offering, surrendering ourselves acceptable to God How have we been made acceptable to God? How have we been made holy? How have we been made priests? How are we built up? How are we living stones? All of that is through Jesus Christ. Now you think about that for a minute, to where it's not just words on a board, but something God himself did so that you and I can experience this type of growing, healing, restorative, fellowshipping relationship. Meditate on that. Think about these words and let the fullness of that saturate into your being, that God's love and care for us is that great. And so we, as living stones, are being built up and fit together as a spiritual house. I know that's foreign. I know most of us have never read these scriptures before, but how glorious this is. Living stones fitted together intentionally by God. Now think about this. Not haphazardly. You live in New Orleans, you're here, you live in Nigeria, wherever, but the whole body of Christ fitted together so that we're supporting those around us. Those who are more mature than us are supporting us. They're under us, holding us up. And then as we grow and mature in him, there are going to be others that come to know Christ and come into this home of God, and they themselves we will help support. And so together we are one body, we are one home, we are one living organism where the Spirit of God rules. Third, we are the church is the people of God. Now, you've heard it said, if you find the perfect church, don't go there, right? Because it won't be perfect anymore once you get there. But that's true. And we see this imperfection in the church just by the way in which some church bulletins are put together. Now, I'm about to show you actual church bulletins, all right? These are excerpts from actual church bulletins, not made up, I promise you. All right, here's one. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of old things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. Oh, the associate minister unveiled the church's new tithing campaign slogan last Sunday. I up my pledge, up yours. Not making this up, I promise. Oh, this being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. I'd love to have the video of that, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah. Barbara remains in the hospital, needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. Or the Alpha course, either. Oh, low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. Don't want anybody to see you. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Is there any, I don't know if there's any more or not. No, thank God there's no more. Okay. So the church is full of imperfect people, but it's the people of God, right? Perfectly the people of God, but not the perfect people of God. And so we see again in 1 Peter, Peter writes to those in Christ, but you, now think about it. He's writing to those in Christ. So if you're in Christ tonight, he's writing to you. Don't miss this. You can go back over this tonight at your table. But you are a chosen race. Hey, Phil, chosen race. Don, royal priesthood, holy nation. Lewis, people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who Ecclesia, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? Out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. For you once were not a people. Yeah, you were in Adam. But now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received unconditional, eternal, uninterrupted, total forgiveness, the mercy of God, now and forever. So we see this here, called out of darkness to his marvelous light, the people of God, not a building, the people of God. I love this shirt that someone had, and I had to take a picture of it. The church has left the building. The church is the people of God. Fourthly, the church is a family. I think this is so important. Let's just look and see how clear the Bible's declaration is of the church being a related family. Here's John's letter. This is not the gospel of John, but his epistle, his letter to the churches. He says to the people of God, these are those in Christ, everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God. Many members, one God, one body, born of God. To as many as received him, to those who believe in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God, a related family. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. Ephesians 2, 17 through 19. And he came, he preached peace to you who were far away, totally separate from God, those of you who were near. Maybe you were not as far. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father of the family. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You're not Adam anymore, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Okay, just quickly, this word saints. In over 60 places in the New Testament, do you know what people in Christ are called? Saints. Written to living people. Not saying this to be to degrade or be critical of anything. To living people. Not voted on by people, but chosen by God himself. No longer strangers and aliens. No longer dead in your sins. No longer of Adam's household. Fellow citizens with the church. The church is made up of saints who still sin and are of God's household, a family, perfectly imperfect people made perfect in the sight of God, with different gifts, different skin color, different height, weight, size, wiring, but made one, a universal church. You have, if you are in Christ, you have brothers and sisters in Nigeria whom you've never met before. And you won't meet probably until your heart stops and there's an incredible gathering of all the saints in heaven. So the church is biblically characterized by caring family descriptions, not distant and non-meaningful acquaintances of people that go to the same building service, same time, same denomination. People related to each other, people caring for each other. We share a spiritual family connection. In Christ, there is no black, brown, white, yellow, free, slave, anything. Indian, French, it doesn't matter. All are one in Christ. There is no caste system. The ground, I've heard it said, is level at the cross. Billy Graham is no greater in the sight of God than you are. He was just given a different pulpit in the church. You are as valuable to God as his son, as his daughter, as the most used church person ever was. That's how valuable you are to the living God. And how important in this family there is none more or less important. Different gifts, right, in the body, used in different ways. But God considers every member of his family essential to him and important to one another. There's no such thing as an isolated, healthy Christian. I mean, think about this for a second. For those of you who still use charcoal briquettes when you barbecue, you heap all those briquettes together and you put all that lighter fluid on them, unless they come with the lighter fluid already, and you light it so they burn together. But if you take one of those coals and you put it off by itself, what happens to that coal? See, we are meant to burn, so to speak, together. We're meant to allow, if you will, the heat of God's life in you to help me continue to burn for God's glory. People responsible for each other, never alone. They are the people in Christ who care about your well-being and your life. It should always be obvious as to how much we need our family. But there are times when it is much more obvious than others. It was December of 2009 when, it was actually October of 2009 when Annette and I got the diagnosis that she had breast cancer. And it was December that she underwent something like 9 hours of surgery. But when we arrived at the hospital that morning, very early, there were at least 40 members of our family that were there, who stayed once Nett was taken back to surgery and just formed a circle in this waiting room and prayed and prayed and prayed for my girl. And that's the church. That's the church. Caring for, encouraging, supporting one another. It ain't perfect, but it is God's. So the church is, it's a body. It's a home, it's people, it's a family. What you've experienced here in Alpha is a family. People that have loved serving you, have loved getting to know you, loved getting to know whether you drink sweet tea, unsweet tea, or water. And that's what we have had the joy of experiencing, getting to know you guys and love on you. And we are so grateful that you've given us that privilege. Now I hope, I'm closing right now, I hope that I've earned at least a little bit of your trust over the weeks, that I can say this to you. You recall one of those knots that Alpha is not in, if you were here for week one and week two. I told you that Alpha is not a membership drive. Not trying to get you to change your church or denomination, not trying to get in your pocket, and all that's true. Yet, I have to ask you, if you have learned more about the Bible in 8 weeks or less attending Alpha than you have learned in all of your experience where you are currently attending, would it make sense to consider how you would go forward from here? How you will continue to grow and not be shallow soil or weedy soil, but you can be soil that is full of nutrient, full of life, experiencing the joy of knowing Christ and making him known. Perhaps at the church that you've attended, the place where there is an assembly of people. Maybe you just haven't asked enough questions. Maybe there are things there that you don't know about. And I would encourage you to dive deeper if that is the case. But what we would pray you would continue to do, I pray that you would continue to come to Essentials and continue this. And pray if you were in a, if you're attending a gathering of people now, it's called the church. I'm not afraid of using that word in the generic sense. Then you would dig deeper. That you just not go back to what it was like before you started, maybe before you started coming here. That you will experience the fullness of God has, that God has for you. He has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. And how should we expect less than the fullness of life that God has come to give us in not just heaven, in heaven, but to experience the one who created all things, living and moving and having His being through us. If Alpha, which is an introduction to Christianity, was new material for you, then would it make sense to consider, where, God, do you want me? Where do you want me, God? Not where am I comfortable being? We talked about that over the weekend. Where do you want me? If it's where I've been, then Lord, dig me deeper where I am. If it's somewhere else, then Lord, show me where that is. And I've got to believe that that has meant something to you. You still wouldn't be coming. You've all heard this adage. You keep doing what you're doing, you keep getting what you got. Now, if Alpha has meant something to you, keep doing what you're doing. It doesn't have to be here, but keep doing what you're doing. Yes, please come to Essentials. Please register for Essentials. But when that's all is done, keep growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here still curious or convinced, but haven't gotten in the wheelbarrow, said I do, receive the gift, that opportunity is for you 24/7, 365, at any moment, to allow the Spirit of God to come and give you full forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That is for you at all times. Remember, C.S. Lewis said this, and I'm done. We all want progress, but if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. In that case, the man, the woman who turns back soonest is the most progressive. If you have, over these weeks, experienced something of God like maybe you've never experienced before or never experienced in a long time, keep going. If you don't know where to go, ask. We will help direct you. If you're going to whatever church family you're a part of, get to that pastor, get to that priest, get to the bishop, get to whoever and say, I need more. Help me get more. But let's not let this have been just 8 weeks of good food, stupid jokes, but lots of Bible to where you have heard what, at least you're leaving here. Like I said, even if you don't believe it, at least you're leaving here having learned to some degree what the Bible says and what the Bible does not say. I like to do this. I like to close in prayer, and we'll take a break and get to our tables for one last time until hopefully next week. Lord, thank you for these 8 weeks that you have given many of us together, 8 weeks and a weekend together, or 2 weeks, Lord, or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Lord, thank you Lord, I believe it would be safe for me to say to you that it's you that have had every one of us in this room for as many weeks as we've been here. You mysteriously worked to have us hear what we're hearing because you choose to use people to communicate words of eternal life. people that are watching, Lord. Watching because you have directed at such a time to be watching, to hear that you have come to give us real life, full forgiveness, total belonging, a family, a home, a hope, a future. Lord, I pray, and we pray over each person that is here now. God, bless them with ever-increasing revelation, hungering, thirsting, to know you, the God who created them, and the Son, Lord, that you gave, that the works of the evil one would be destroyed in our lives, and that we could have life and your life to the full. So again, we thank you, and we look forward to what you're doing and what you're going to do in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead. And we welcome you, and we so desire you to do that. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much. It's been great being with you. Thank you.